Welcome to Novo Ed Talks, where we reveal real-world strategies and expert insights from learning and development professionals. In every episode, we chat with practitioners, course designers, learning strategists, and business leads. We hear about their experiences in the learning industry and predictions for the profession and the trends that they're seeing. But before we get started, a little bit about Novo Ed. Founded at Stanford's Social Algorithms Lab in 2012, Novo Ed is a people-centric, capability-building platform that combines social and collaborative learning to drive performance readiness at scale. Through cohort-based experiences centered around human interaction, Novo Ed taps into collective wisdom, placing each learner at the center of perspective, application, and expertise. Large enterprises such as 3M, GE, Marriott International, and Nestle partner with Novo Ed to accelerate their critical initiatives, reconnect teams, and achieve rapid alignment through learning that is felt, experienced, and swiftly transformed into impact. Now, let's meet our guest for today's episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Novo Ed Talks podcast, a space for training trailblazers to get real. My name is Melissa Fisk. I am the producer of the Novo Ed Talks podcast, and today I am joined by Cassie Matheson, an HR talent manager for a large healthcare system in Ohio. More specifically, Cassie is the Workforce Development and International Talent Acquisition Manager for her organization. She has worked for almost 10 years in the recruitment space for healthcare organizations, and she is passionate about helping others discover how they can use their talents in the workplace, as well as enhancing culture and engagement. Cassie, thank you so much for joining us today, and welcome to the Novo Ed Talks podcast.
Thanks, Melissa. I'm excited to be here with you.
Awesome. Well, why don't you start just by kind of introducing yourself and telling us a little bit more about your role at your company?
Absolutely. So as Melissa shared, I've worked in healthcare in the human resource space for almost 10 years. And currently I serve as the manager for a large healthcare system in Ohio, and I oversee our workforce development initiatives and our international recruitment for our system. I've been with this role and position for the last 5 years. And I am extremely passionate about helping people find their place in healthcare, but also helping make international dreams come true with coming to the United States to live out their mission in our healthcare systems too.
That's awesome. That must be so exciting. So you kind of have a whole broad spectrum of learners and folks that you're recruiting. What do you see as some of the biggest challenges, or maybe you can name a couple for different groups that these folks face?
Yeah. So in our workforce development space, I think one thing that we're facing the challenge of is post-COVID, we have seen a lower enrollment into nursing programs. This is not a surprise by anyone. I think when the pandemic hit, a lot of programs, if not all, moved online and the enrollment numbers came down. There was also concern with working along patient side. And there's also the growing ability for the next generation to want to work in a more remote setting, whereas being by the patient bedside doesn't allow them to do that. It is more patient facing and it's in person. So these are some of the challenges that we're facing within that sphere of the work that we do. Within our international space, some of the challenges that we face is the current but future potential plans that the United States government puts into place for immigrants that come on a work visa. And we do sponsor individuals appropriately to come on a work visa to remain lawful status. But these timeframes can oftentimes change and shift month over month. And so things are ever changing in that space, and it can be a challenge to work with.
Yeah, I bet. And those are not, you know, not small challenges, you know, they have severe implications, you know, for everyone involved. So I can only imagine that that makes your job a little bit more difficult. How do you approach some of these challenges?
Yeah, so part of what we're doing in our workforce development space is we are tapping into our local talent, actually. So we are starting to engage with students earlier in their academic career. So we have developed some initiatives in our local schools, middle school, high school, where we can actually go inside of the classroom and teach some of these health guiding principles, CPR class training with a nurse educator, trying to get these students interested in exploring a career in healthcare. So that way, by the time that they're in exploring what career they want to go into and enroll into college, they already have an idea of what the different types of jobs and careers are out there, and we can help find them a position once they graduate from college. So those are how we are approaching our workforce development initiatives in our backyard. Within our international space, we are focusing on strategies in bringing folks here, maybe on visa types that would allow them to come faster from some of our neighboring countries, like Canada, etc. But there are different strategies within both of these spaces that we're tapping into to try to find talent for our healthcare system.
That's awesome. And I'm sure, it's you've got, two opposite ends of the spectrum, right? Locally, like what you can do, like literally right in your backyard, and then thinking broader, like internationally. It's two totally different approaches that you, I'm sure, are taking for both of those. As the skill sets needed for success continue to shift, what strategies does your team use to ensure the workforce remains adaptable and prepared? And not just to kind of like how they're doing the job, but maybe to kind of some of these changes that are coming up, like laws and regulations for international workers and things like that. How are you kind of like navigating all of these challenges?
Yeah, so we do work with our outside counsel for our international recruitment. So that way we are staying up to date on any current current status, but also future and upcoming. So we're always in the know, and we're thankful to our partners. And I think, like I mentioned previously, for the workforce side, how we're adapting is we're really trying to develop these programs earlier in the student's career to try to get them interested in healthcare. Most students think the only jobs that are in a healthcare system are doctors and nurses, where there's a plethora of other jobs that you could be doing to help serve the community. And so it's trying to really educate them. And we've been engaging with our nurse leaders and our educator teams to help get in front of them and make it a fun learning experience
Yeah,
with them.
that's awesome. And how do you kind of, like address skills gaps to stay agile, like in a changing workforce?
That is a great question. So, on the workforce side, something I appreciated is our nurse educator team recognized that during the pandemic, post-pandemic, the students that were enrolled in those programs that completed it online, there was a little bit of a skills gap because they couldn't go in and practice like they normally would their last year of their program, doing clinicals, doing their senior preceptorship. They weren't able to do that. So what we've incorporated is, as part of our residency program, students will actually be able to take more classes to continue to learn these skills, but they actually work with preceptors there on the unit that are helping to support them, answer questions, help guide them on how to do something for the very first time. And they're also, we have nurse educators that round with them. They have a frequent basis where they round with them just to check in and say, hey, how are you doing? Because we have had a lot of new grad RNs sometimes struggle with the post-pandemic. We're seeing sicker patients, and there's less nurses to cover on the floor. And so this can burden our healthcare providers. And so we have built a process to support a new nurse to help really manage that gap. And then, as well, on our international side, we actually have a nurse educator team fully dedicated that when we bring a new international cohort to our healthcare system, they actually train them for about 5 weeks in the classroom on the US best practice. And so that way they understand how to use an EMR system, how they would be expected to do head-to-toe assessments. These are just examples of how in different countries the typical healthcare looks a little different than in the United States. So we help set them up for success, and we also give them a preceptor and an educator, just as we would a new graduate, with our international team member to help support them during the orientation period once they land on the unit. So we've really built a robust program to be able to support and help bridge that gap.
Yeah. Now, is that all done like in person? You said in the classroom there. Is that all done like in person, like on the unit, or do you do any of that online?
Yeah,
On
so for the new grads, well, yeah, on the new grads, they are actually doing it in person, but it's on the unit. But for our internationals, they're actually being taught in a classroom setting for longer than a month, and then they go on the unit and they continue that orientation in person with their nurse educator,
Yeah.
and the preceptor.
That's awesome. And how do you currently measure the effectiveness of these programs or others that you're running?
Absolutely. So, as any healthcare system, we do have goals where we want to make sure that the programs that we have and host are successful. We look at success in multiple measures. Most people would think ROI, right? Like how long and how many have stayed. We also base it on experience. So, we have created the idea of a focus group where we actually go back to the employee and we ask, how can we make this experience better for the next group? Are there items that you'd want to share back with us? So we've embraced kind of a continuous feedback loop because that's important to us to know how are we doing. We also have incorporated the same type of feedback with our nurse management team and our educators. We are completely all in communication with one another, really to support and grow up our workforce.
Wow, that's great. And you mentioned that a lot of kind of your training and all of that is done in person and on the unit, which makes sense for the type of things that you're teaching. But what role does technology play, if any, in your programs? And are there certain like tools or platforms that you leverage?
I would say one thing that we incorporated right after the pandemic was the ability for a new grad nurse to take an NCLEX prep class. So some of you viewers might know, but post-pandemic, the NCLEX changed for the online exam did change. And we heard that it became a little bit more difficult for a new grad to take and pass the first time. So we were offering online courses to be able to test prep for it so that way you pass on the first time. So we utilize technology in that space, but we're also looking at using more AI technology to get our younger generations that are in the community interested in healthcare. So we're actually looking at a new platform with a local college, partnering with them to bring in a VR headset into the classroom. And the students can actually pretend to help take care of a patient, you know, if they need an x-ray or how to help when you're doing surgery or performing surgery and you're a nurse helping. So it's a simulation, very real life. I even tried it out myself. It was actually very engaging. And we think tools like this will help get these students and kids interested in actually knowing what people do in the job role. So we've started to incorporate technology in various ways.
Yeah, that's so cool. And I feel like too, for a younger generation who's like grown up, play, I mean, I guess other generations have grown up playing video games, but very different, you know what I mean? But
Or
like,
different, yeah.
yeah, but like very more real or whatever. So, or just like technology now is so much more real for, students in that generation, to incorporate that. I feel like it's such a great way to get them actually engaged because it's like, oh, this is like real life, but it's in a format almost that I'm used to, or like play, my games with or whatever, but I think that's so cool. And I'm sure like very exciting for students to like be able to see that, versus just have
Absolutely.
someone come in and like tell them, oh yeah, this is what it is, or this, they can't really picture it, but like to see that is so cool.
And that's something, just to add on to that, Melissa, that's something that we recognized and heard back from our Gen Z that they would rather experience something to make a decision that could be lifelong than just hear about it. And that's something I appreciate about this next generation is they really want the experiential like experience. So yeah, we're happy that we can offer that to them.
Yeah, that's so cool and makes all the difference. Like, I feel like an experience is so much more tangible. And when you're that young and like impressionable, like that could go a long way. I can see that being very, very impactful. Just kind of thinking about the industry in general, as you know, learning development, workforce development, mentoring programs have rapidly evolved over the past 5 years. What are some key takeaways you've seen? Obviously, coming out of COVID, there's been some big ones, especially for what you do.
Yeah, I think key takeaways that I've seen, it's a very competitive market right now for new nurses, which we're in that space every day. And again, I think that that has grown since the pandemic. So I think key takeaways is asking and answering the question, what's important to this next generation? And something I appreciate about our system strategy for the future is we are interested in, yes, looking at what the patient care model looks like for the future, but also the employee care model as well. Telehealth is something that's becoming more and more usual. So people love the idea of something that is very, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like they can easily get it. It's convenient. They're trying to look for something that's convenient. And so we want to try and help people find a career that allows them to live out their calling and their mission in life and take care of patients in the setting that they want to. And something that's very important to us too, where we are a faith-based organization. And so we're looking for people that are like matched to us. And so as we're developing our pipelines and our strategies, we look through the lens of these long-term strategies of patient care model and what how that's going to impact the employees that we help bring on board.
Yeah, that's great. That makes sense. And it's a great way to kind of like connect the dots there from like the end. I don't want to say product, but like the end thing that you're delivering and like connecting that through to who, you know, you're going to hire and making sure that that lines up. Kind of on the flip side of that, you know, as you're preparing for the next 5 years, how is your team leveraging technology to kind of enhance employee experiences? You just talked a little bit about it with like the telehealth example.
Yeah, so one thing I've appreciated is we are looking into strategies that if a student, for example, is in college and they're earning their degree, we are aware that they have to conduct clinicals and they have to go to classes, but they also want to work. They want to make an income to help support their, expenses. We are trying to find ways that we can help support them in working short shifts within our hospital because they're filling a need by helping with the patients. And we're also filling the promise back to them that we'll have you continue working post-grad. So we're trying to engage with the employees to help make that experience be well as we're trying to prepare for the workforce because we know that as time goes, we would hope that more nurses would be able to begin working in the field, but obviously it's hard to know and think and plan for that for the 5 years. So you're trying to utilize who is out there right now. I don't know if that answered your question, Melissa.
Yeah, I mean, you that speaks to kind of, you know, how, you know, really what the question is getting at is like how the industry is, you know, kind of changing and keeping you on your toes and adapting to all of that. And I think, you know, like what you're talking about is because, you know, students are going to school too for like a very specific period of time, you know, it's going to be like you were mentioning, like every like 5 years when these students like graduate, you know, it's like it's a lot more kind of like structured, where in other organizations, like you're not going to be like, oh, these people in 5 years will be ready to come like and join us. It's usually like, oh, I'm looking for this person like right now. So you kind of have to have a different approach to understanding and looking at technology and like how that is going to, or like, you know, technology and trends and like, yes, what it was like in the past 5 years, what it is right now, but that might not be suited for who's going to be, who you're going to be hiring like within, another 5 years or something. So you almost have to be kind of like thinking about it in incremental periods, which I'm sure is a little bit unique to the role and industry that you're in.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I guess, Cassie, to close on a positive note, my last question for you would be, what's the most important lesson you've learned as a leader that you would like to pass on to someone just starting their journey?
Yeah, I would say one of the most important lessons is don't forget what it was like to be your team member. I think if you're going to be a great leader, you have to be willing and want to get down and help with them with their going. If we're trying to start a new initiative and there's roadblocks, there's barriers, me as a leader, I want to understand what are those and help remove them. So that way we can get back going. And I want my team, and they do know that if there's anything that they ever need, I'm here to support them. And I think it's really important to remember that we do live in an agile workforce where it is an employee market right now, where there's lots of career opportunities. So it can be difficult to recruit. And so there are challenges within our space, but I think remembering that and also really helping to, embrace your team and remember that you once were there and kind of be able to resonate and reflect back on that and give them the support that you wish that you had.
Yeah, absolutely. Like starting any position, I feel like is such a like vulnerable time, especially when you're younger and just like trying to understand like what you're doing and like getting your own life figured out at the same time. So I feel like that's really, really good advice because we grow so quick in our careers that sometimes we forget about that. So that's excellent advice. Cassie, thank you so much for joining us today on the NovoEd Talks podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on.
Thank you so much.
And thank you to our listeners for tuning in once again to the NovoEd Talks podcast.